Hey everyone, welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. I have a question for you. If you or I were found to have violated a law that prevents insider trading, what do you think would happen to us?
FBI?
Well, what happens when a whopping 71 members of Congress are caught doing that very thing? Talk about conflict of interest.
Yeah, where's the FBI, DOJ, or IRS on this one? And speaking of conflicts of interest, today we're going to talk about people like Nancy Pelosi, whose stocks perform so well that she's even gained stock followers. And we're also going to talk about the energy crisis in the UK and how it's already started here in the US. We'll also talk about California's bans on gas-powered cars while they tell you not to charge your electric cars. And we'll talk about Bill Gates and depopulation.
Yeah, and some of Edge of Wonder's goals are to expose covered-up truths and share information the mainstream media won't discuss. So I'd say that when we see the public following one set of laws while the elites follow their own, that's something we should probably be talking about.
Yeah, so let's jump into the show with updates on some of the biggest players in politics. So we'll see you guys out.
On the edge of Saved by the Bell. Nice shirt.
Someone was like, I'm channeling my inner Screech tonight.
Oh, no, don't do that. That guy turned out poorly.
Yeah, he did, actually. He died, too.
Yeah, I think he, yeah. Well,
I can't remember what he died of. I don't know if it was like suicide, drug overdose.
I think it was something like that.
It was kind of weird anyway. Yeah. But anyway, how's everyone doing this Thursday? So
fabulous. Thank you, Ben. I mean, aside from all this insider trading stuff that's been keeping me up at night.
I still can't. I mean, I think we just might as well assume anyone in politics, I think there should be a law, honestly, that anyone in politics cannot hold any stock, because that just seems a massive conflict of interest and a massive issue right there.
Definitely, for sure. And if you go into, like, for instance, if you get a job at something like the SEC, they look at everything you have vested interests in to assess those. You have to be very transparent about it. But the thing is like, anyone who's doing trading right now is probably using an unsaid rule of following whoever these Democrats are that are making loads of money just to know what to invest in, because they know they're safe if they do that. Exactly. And it is like, you know, this isn't to hammer Democrats, but I mean, the Congress is largely Democrats, right? Controlled by Democrats. And so I would be interested to see the entire list, you know.
Well, I mean, there actually is a list that we will get into. And I mean, there are Republicans too. And granted, you know, it's not like
There's tons of Republicans that are playing this game.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's the same bird that's flying. It's going in the same direction, no matter what wing you're on. It's like, it's still going in this one direction. And the question is, where is that one direction going to? And that's...
Ben, are you talking about the band right now?
One Direction.
Just kidding.
Saved by the Bell, One Direction. Here we go. All right. Well, okay. 71.
Already.
Wait, what'd you say?
It's a recipe for disaster here already.
Yeah, seriously, already. So 71 members of Congress have violated a law designed to prevent insider trading and stop conflicts of interest, exactly what we're talking about. And I think the pinnacle of this is what we saw with Pfizer and Moderna, where everybody in Congress, all these politicians, they all invested stock in Pfizer and Moderna before all of this even happened. And they got millions and millions of dollars, like all of them. And it's just like, what, I mean, is that the reason why everyone was pushing the vaccine so much? You know, it's just really strange. And so 71 members of Congress who've recently failed to properly report their financial trades as mandated by the Stop Trading on Congress Knowledge Act of 2012, also known as Stock Act, So Congress passed this a decade ago to combat insider trading. It doesn't look like it really did too much.
Didn't do that much, did it?
Yeah. Supposedly, any members of Congress have not fully complied with the law. They offer excuses, including ignorance of the law. Oh, sorry, I didn't know that I was supposed to report this.
How can you not? Like, you go through the ringer when you get hired onto a federal agency. You cannot be dumb with that. So they even tell you that if you do buy a stock in something, that you have to report it right away. Like, they're actively doing that to the entire organization. So,
yeah, that's why I kind of think that this is why they have like hedge funds and like kind of secret hedge funds, because it's not, they can say, oh, it's not me directly, right? Like my husband or my wife or whoever, like in Nancy Pelosi's case, it's like her husband has all this stock, and it's like, and they own this, they actually own a hedge fund too. So it's like, how can you be, especially she's the House Speaker, and yet like have a hedge fund, and then, you know, she dumps her stock for the chip company, which they got about like $6 million for. They saved like 20%, because all of a sudden Congress comes out saying like, oh, this chip company can no longer sell to China. Their stock literally dropped 6%, and they just sold it right before that happened. And it's like, come on, you know, like, where's the FBI in this? Like, why aren't they investigating all this stuff? But okay, so Rob, you can kind of go through this. Lindsay, can you pull up this unusual whales tweet? So they actually, this site or this Twitter page, they do a really good job of breaking everything down. And there are, you know, there's a many politicians here. So it says, I just released the full trading report on politicians in 2021. In short, many beat the market. They traded more than ever before. And okay, so scroll down a little bit so you can see this. So these are, you know, the red is Republicans, the blue is Democrats.
Wait, go back. That part is super important. So that last sentence in there, it says, and they made numerous unusually timed trades resulting in huge gains. Like, it's the unusually timed trades that the SEC should be watching all of these politicians on specifically. You know, or if not the SEC, who else would? If not the SEC, it would be, because they're the ones that regulate insider trading.
Exactly. So,
I mean, this is crazy. Like,
yeah, and this is like, not even
as soon as this new regime came in, they're like, how many laws have they not broken? Is the question. Not how many have they broken, how many have they not broken? Because
I don't even know.
It is crazy. If that's going on, that's one of the worst, most egregious things that you can do is insider trading, because it can cause massive problems to the overall stock trade.
Well, yeah, definitely. And, you know, and like, you know, Trump is a little bit different because he's a businessman, right? And then he happened to be president. But still, I don't think anybody in Congress should be making, you know, it's like if they have stock before they get in to Congress or as a politician, and it's like, I think that there should be a rule that, you know, either they can't sell or trade that, because then it's like,
their positions are the problem. They can utilize their position at any point to get information to make proper trades to make it rich. Anyone who's into trading would know to watch certain people. So so definitely insider trading is going on.
100%. And Nancy Pelosi, her total stock is about $100 million. And how in the world can someone be in politics?
I know you're going to say, how in the world could someone who's worth maybe $2.50 be worth $100 million? Is that what you were going to say?
Close enough.
I thought I read your mind there.
Close enough. Yeah, it's super, super crazy. I mean, this is just like mind blowing. And like, this is what we're seeing. This is what happened right before the pandemic, right? Right before the pandemic, all these CEOs were dumping their stock. Then at the same time, all these people were buying stock in the Pfizer, in Moderna. And to be honest, I did have a couple friends that were, that kind of saw that happening and was like, hey, I'm going to buy Pfizer's stock because all the politicians are getting it. So I might as well too, you know, and they did make some money with it. And I just couldn't get myself to do it. I'm like, dude, I just feel it's
Pfizer. It's like, it feels dirty to invest in them. Right.
Yeah. 100%. That's fully what I believe now. Okay. Now here's some stock. Now, Lindsay, if you can pull up this link about stock Nancy Pelosi owns, and it's pretty mind-blowing, actually, how much stock that she really owns in these companies. This is worth about $70 million. And like I said, she's worth about $100 million in stock. So Microsoft, there's I actually don't know what CRM is. What's CRM? Salesforce.
This is like a Twitter trolling account. Yeah, it has to be.
That just follows Nancy Pelosi's stock. And like ordinary, like, well, let me say, like, you know, ordinary people that are not really awake, you know, they're actually asking like, oh, what is she investing in? Like, maybe I should invest what she's investing in too. So yeah, so it's Salesforce, the CRM, then there's Google. She owns 7 million shares of Google. That is insane, man.
9%. Dude,
yeah.
9%.
I think it's 9% of her
Total, like, yeah.
Share. Yeah, yeah. Not 9% of Google.
I know, but it's like, yeah. That's still a lot. Like,
that's a lot.
Like, 7 million?
Not 7 million shares, $7 million, I think.
We're talking, okay, got it. So yeah, still, yeah, 7 million is a ton of cash.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash. And then the NVDA, that's the I can't pronounce it. That's the chip company that she just sold $5 million worth. Then there's Tesla, Netflix, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. I'm not sure what AB is actually. I forget. And we have Disney. PayPal. Then we have, like, what did you say?
PayPal.
Oh, PayPal. Yeah, and PayPal. And then it's like Roblox. I'm not even sure what this is. That's the RBLX. And then we have CrowdStrike.
Is still how much the $2 million in that stock is worth to determine how much of that company that they own. You'd have to reverse engineer that, though.
Mm-hmm.
What is CRWD?
That's the crowd. It's called Crowd... what did I just say? Sorry.
What is
CrowdStrike?
MU?
CrowdStrike. It's a first cloud native platform that protects endpoints, cloud workloads, identity, and data. We stop breaches and start your free trial. Oh, sorry. Start your free trial today. That's what they do. They are worth about $2.1 billion. Wow. It's a security endpoint security one number. It says it's one of the number one top security platforms for websites. I don't know. You know,
I mean, you know, it makes me wonder, is she a politician for the power? Or is she just a politician to make loads of money off of these insider trading things?
Well, you know, and that's a great question. And the other question is like, Rob, let's say you had $7 million worth of stock in Google, and now they're going to start censorship, but that censorship is also could affect your holdings one way or another, right? So it's like, how would you go about it? this doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah,
it's like,
what do you do? Do you go along with what Google is saying? Yeah. Because it's like,
well, and stocks and shares don't at all work with the WEF ESG scores that they've been holding everyone accountable to. They are like completely at odds with one another. So how, like, that's what makes this entire thing so crazy is like the WEF and the ESG scores had to figure out a way to counterbalance the money that a corporation would get based off of the based off of the ESG scores and not the trading that was actually going on. So there has to be another way that the corporations are making money and then making the shareholders happy through that process.
Right.
Yeah. Because it doesn't make sense. Like, none of what most of these corporations are doing are actually to be wildly successful. It's mostly to control agenda now. Because there's so many things that they could do that people would be wildly excited about. Like, for instance, it's not actually that hard for Disney to write really good Star Wars films, for instance. But because the agendas are so like ripe right now in all of this stuff that they're doing, because it's such a bag of cats, they are unable to make a good Star Wars film. And so they're losing the entire company at the same time that they're trying to balance out, playing to the agendas that the WEF is forcing them to push. So
I agree. Weird. 100% agree. And actually, there is like some breaking news that came out just earlier.
Nancy Pelosi stop for a DUI again?
I wish.
It was her this time, not her husband?
No. I wish. But no, so AOC and Abigail Spanberger, I guess she's a she's name. Like some kind of a Congress representative. They want House vote to limit stock trading by politicians by September 30th. So
basically you have all this time to make liquidity for yourself before we drop the hammer down and start to hide what we're doing again.
That's what I would say too. And I mean, and then it also bothers me. So we spent like, who knows how much money we really gave Ukraine, you know, it's like tens of billions of dollars we gave Ukraine. We gave Israel billions of dollars kind of recently too. We gave Taiwan billions of dollars recently. And yet we have places like Michigan and some other places in the country that can't even drink their tap water because it's so polluted and no one's helping them. Instead, you have Obama that went to Flint in like 2014 and drank the water. And he's like, oh yeah, this is really good. Nothing's wrong with this. And it's like, are you drinking the tap water or did you, someone just pour water in a bottle of water in class? It's like,
all those politicians that were getting jabs that had no needles.
Yeah. So wait, okay, Lindsay, you just had a link in here that you found about Spanberger. What was this that you found?
I think she started doing this, well, the article's from January, so it looks like it's been in the process for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this, you know, I mean, what was that? We said on one of the shows, it's like, dude, politician, like I read this.
Well, yeah.
Like,
so if they're trying to limit them doing that, that would make sense actually while all of this is going on. Right.
Well, yeah,
this is going to disturb Wall Street big time.
Well, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. Like politicians should be wearing shirts with patches, like logo patches saying like who bought them out basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of essentially what I think this is, you know, because like, I mean, then you have the lobbying from these companies. So let's say like you have some lobbying from Google to the politicians talking about something, and yet the politicians have stock. They're making a decision about something and it's like, oh, okay, well, once I make this decision, this is going to affect Google's stock. So I'll just sell a little bit now before I go out. If I sell all of it, it's going to look too suspicious. So I'll just sell a little bit and then we'll make this announcement, but I won't be the one making it. Somebody else is going to make the announcement. They make the announcement. Google stock goes down and it's like, okay, I'm going to buy a little bit right now. So then it doesn't look that suspicious. And then once it goes up, then I'll sell that and I'll keep what I had originally. And it's like, I'm sure this has been going on since the dawn of the, you know, creation of the Federal Reserve, but
in Wall Street, the stock market
and the stock market. But all right, we have to play a trailer right now, and then we have a lot more to talk about, especially related to the energy crisis. So let's play the trailer and we'll come back, you guys.
Sounds good.
question: who created the New World Order? How did it actually come to be? What are some of the organizations involved? Well, ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations? The Bilderberg Group? The Trilateral Commission? The Club of Rome? The Royal Institute of International Affairs? And of course, the United Nations. What do all these groups have in common anyway? Most of all, what are their true objectives? Prepare for a brand new series called The Roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys. So that's on our platform, rise.tv, where you can find all of our fully produced shows that Rob and I have done over the years. We probably have like hundreds of them on there, and that's one of the ones that we've done. We've gotten to a lot of stuff. And hey, you guys, for everyone out there watching too, so we went over our Deep State series that we created a few years ago, and Rob and I decided instead of republishing it, we actually want to take what we've done and add to it and make it even better. So we're in the process of working on that right now. And so very soon we're going to have a brand new series about the elite cabal, deep state, coming out. So definitely be on the lookout for that one. And we're going to be filming stuff very soon on the Loch Ness Monster as well. So
can't wait for that.
Me too. That it's going to be fun.
The Loch Ness Monster, none other than Aleister Crowley himself.
Yes.
And the Flash.
Yeah, and like this information about Aleister Crowley is just totally, it's just completely insane related to Loch Ness. But yeah, so please subscribe to Rise TV and you can get access to all of our videos. We go live twice a week, but really our hard-hitting content is on Rise TV. You know, ever since we got censored on YouTube, we had to be a little bit careful what we publish like publicly, but you can find all of our sensitive stuff on Rise TV.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff on there. I was rewatching episode 2 of our cannibalism series, which basically just goes straight through like the story of Noah, his sons, right up into Nimrod and everything that happened. And I was like, wow, this was a great episode. There's so much information in there. And then I was like, huh. I wrote this. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, dude, we've done so many topics and so many episodes on like so many different kinds of topics.
Yeah.
That even rewatching like this Deep State series, I was like, man, you know, I completely forgot. Like, there's just so much in our heads, you know. And sometimes you guys like we do get some facts wrong because it's just like there's so much stuff that's in our heads that we're trying to remember and going over, and every single day we're looking at things. And so, you know, occasionally we might get something wrong, and if we do, we apologize and we'll definitely correct it if that happens. So but thank you so much, all of you guys, for supporting us through all these years and letting us still do what we do, because without that we would have stopped a long time ago.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
All right. Okay. So why don't we start kind of switching gears here? Although in a way this all kind of goes together. I mean, this is what blows my mind. It's like, no matter, it's like, well, how do we talk about all this? Well, really, like, no matter if you're talking about Trump and the FBI raid, you're talking about the IRS, they're talking about the FBI. It's like, it's all kind of related. The DOJ, it's just like, what is everyone doing? And it's like, there's a dumpster fire over here, but you're just kind of looking over here at some suspicious old woman who's not doing anything. And you're just like waiting to see if something's going to happen.
You know what's weird, like, is
the building's blowing up behind you.
It's weird that even MSN, for instance, like this MSN article about Pelosi, Pelosi dodged an extra 20% loss selling NVIDIA stock in July before August U.S. restrictions. Excuse me if I said that wrong, but like even MSN has been forced to report on this because it's like so in everyone's face, you know?
Obvious. And then she goes, so she dumps her stock in this company Then she goes to Taiwan, right? And then we're trying to figure out what she's doing in Taiwan. And then we figured it out on a show while we were alive that she was meeting with the president of the company that makes the chips for like 90% of the products in the world.
Yeah.
And then the US government passes this $60 billion thing that they're giving to Taiwan for this company. And I'm like, dude, she's definitely buying stock. I mean, that's what any smart person would do. It's like, oh, we're about ready to do this business deal with them. I might as well, you know, I'll sell my stock here and invest it all over here, which I'm sure that's what she did. And then US announces this, their stock goes through the roof, and she just made millions and millions of dollars again. And it's like, you know, why are they doing? And then it's like, oh, well, that's really why she avoided China, it seems like, because she was just making all this money on the stock. And it's like, she didn't care that, you know. But granted, anyway, it was still good that she refuted or, you know, went against the CCP. And I still support that aspect.
Well, it seemed like she did. But then a couple of days later, she was being interviewed and she was praising China being like the freest place. Remember, you and I had that discussion. Yeah,
she was using Freedom House and it was
yes.
And then Freedom House came back and was like, nope, we never said that.
Actually, Lindsay, can you find that clip for us while we're kind of talking about stuff? Because I think it would be good to replay that.
I think it would be too. Because yeah, that's right. We had that whole conversation with Freedom House and everything.
Like she couldn't even keep that right. You know, like, China was so upset about her going over there. They were saying they were moved troops out, like, even closer to make a move on Taiwan. And then, you know, she just played stupid, really. She was just playing games, money games. And then she comes back and says all of this, like, nice stuff about China, probably to mitigate the situation. But it, like, just shows how these people are, like, they're almost empty shells of human beings, unfortunately. Like, she could have done the right thing there and, like, made, you know, or not commented at all and just let the damage be done by her going there. And then she retracted the entire thing. It just goes to show you it's like super sad.
It's really sad. And like, you know, I feel like sometimes the media, her going to Taiwan, the media was all over the place. It was like no one could really put it together. They were like, all media were criticizing her on both sides. I thought that was kind of fascinating. You know, of course, the extreme ones were saying like she's going to create World War III. And it's like, no, China's not actually going to physically do anything. They're not that dumb to do anything like that. Although
they've been threatening Taiwan seriously for like 30, 40 years, right? So maybe 50.
I mean, they permanently have missiles pointed at Taiwan.
That's what I mean. You know? It's like, I mean, these guys are used to it. The Taiwanese people are just like, whatever. What is it today?
Oh man, yeah. But it's like, realistically, if the media would do their job, how traditional reporting is done, by asking all the questions that they need to ask, you know, and it's like, it's so hard. Every time I read something from the mainstream media now, I have a million questions and I can't find the answers to, because it's like they're not asking the right questions. And it's like, dude, come on, you guys. And then it's like, you know, people like our channel and other channels out there, more of the independent media, have to really step forward. And then it's like, you know, it's like, well, dude, just do your job. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, the media is what's happening with the division. You know, I heard a really great analogy. And I used to really use analogy with ants, but if you have black ants and red ants, and if you put them together in a jar, nothing's going to happen. They're just going to like be in harmony with each other and just keep doing what they're doing. If you take that jar and start shaking it and put it down, they're going to start attacking each other. And the question is, it's like, who's shaking the jar? And
that's a good point.
And it's like, what's really going on? When it comes to, you know, like, it's like everyone's so focused on what's happening right in front of them. They're not looking at what's the bigger picture, taking a step back and saying, okay, what is creating these conflicts? And I feel like the media is at the root cause. But then when you look into who owns the stock of the media, probably a lot of politicians secretly. And BlackRock. Right. BlackRock and Vanguard pretty much have more stock in any of these companies than, or I mean the media companies, than anything else. And it's just, anyway, I'm sorry, you guys. I get really worked up with this because I feel like we've been battling this whole thing with the media for so long, and they're really the bad guys here in a lot of ways.
They are, but it is the guys who control the media, right? I mean, that's right. True as well. So, mm-hmm.
Lindsay, did you find that video?
I'm still trying to find the link. I found what live we talked about it, but I can't find the actual link because I don't think we labeled it properly.
What if you just do a Google search of like Nancy Pelosi, China? Just put Nancy Pelosi China Freedom House. I bet that will come up.
I tried that too. I'm still looking. I'll try. All right.
And it might be on Twitter. No problem. Okay, we can get into that. Let's talk about the energy crisis now. Especially what's, well, okay, there's two aspects of this. One is like what's happening in the UK, which is really serious. And I don't think a lot of Western or like, you know, American media right now is really focusing on this right now. They probably don't think it's that much of a big deal. And then we have what's going on in California. So I think let's start with California and then we'll get into the UK. So, I mean, okay, like, yeah, as we all know, California wants to ban sales of gas-powered cars by, I think it's 2035. It was either 2032 or 2035. I can't remember the exact date. 2035, yeah. So as an effort to climate, or to fight climate change.
Hey, yeah. Guys, I think I found it.
Okay.
Let's just send it to you, Lindsay.
All right,
you
know, let's do that.
What's interesting is that Snopes actually couldn't even deny this one.
There you go.
Ready?
Yep.
We still support the One China policy. We go there to acknowledge the status quo is what our policy is. There is nothing disruptive about that. It was only about saying China is one of the freest societies in the world. Don't take it from me. That's from It's a strong democracy, courageous people.
That's look at this Freedom chick House. On the left, like she knows.
I don't know why it is, except there's some commercial interests who would like to diminish the relationship.
Commercial. Oh my god!
I don't know. Like these hosts and these media companies seem like
that's what I mean.
Really evil pawns.
Like why aren't they asking questions? Like, say, you know, especially
if if you and I were a reporter and Nancy Pelosi pulled out, it's one of the freest societies in the world. Wait a minute. Can we dig into that a little bit?
By
freest societies in the world, and Freedom House never said that. And then think about what would happen.
Or we could be a little bit more polite and say, okay, could you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean? What do you think is makes it free?
And it'd be like, so you're saying a communist country that's killed easily over 65 million people is free, and just like, let's see what she says, right?
Well, if you're Mao Zedong, I guess
Mao Zedong admitted to killing 65, but like, of course, the numbers are like way over that because so many were hidden during the famine, right? But what's she gonna say? She's gonna be like, for the Freedom House, where's my vodka? I don't know what she's gonna say. She's like digging herself in a hole, but that like can you pull that video up again? Like, look at the look on the host, whatever her name is, like this journalist's face when she says that. It's like comical. You know, like they're like really interested in defending, you know, like this whole thing. Like, if you're a journalist and you think China is free, shame on you. Like, read a book. Well, research.
This is exactly what I mean. Like, why can't the media just be the media and ask questions? And I don't know. Okay, play it. Play it one more time.
We still support the One China policy.
Pause it right there. Hold on. She's saying we still support the One Child policy. China actually doesn't have it anymore.
China doesn't even support the One Child policy, Nancy.
Isn't she saying one China policy?
One China or one child?
Okay. I thought she said one child.
Okay, I'm sorry too.
No, but the one China policy, like that's also, that's like we support the one China policy is like, well, screw you, Taiwan.
Yes,
you
should all be like
enslaved under the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Status what our policy is. There was nothing disruptive about that. It was only about saying China is one of the freest societies in the world. Don't take it from me. That's from Freedom House.
Let's talk a little bit.
Democracy, yeah. Courageous people.
Like, look,
and it just, I don't know why it is, except there's some commercial interest who would like to diminish the relationship.
Strong democracy. That wasn't from Nancy Pelosi. Was that the other girl that said a strong democracy?
No, she... No, did Nancy... I think Nancy said that, right?
Lindsay, okay. Can you play that part?
Democracy?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was her or Nancy that said that.
Want to play it again?
Anyway. This just blows my mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
We still support the one China policy.
Wait, we go there to acknowledge the
status quo. There was nothing disruptive about that. It was only about saying China is one of the freest societies in the world. Don't take it from me. That's from Freedom House.
Let's talk a little bit. Courageous.
Oh, Nancy, she said it's a strong democracy.
Yeah, Nancy.
What are you talking about?
China's propaganda makes fun of democracy and says it doesn't work because of politicians like Nancy. Like, they are literally, Nancy Pelosi is in the Chinese prop. Like, they use her as an example of a failed capitalist society.
Like 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacre. That was so all bizarre. About because they wanted democracy and they killed the students. Like,
like, literally, but this just goes to show you. Everything that she's doing is for personal gain, right?
Yeah, I mean, and like the media doesn't even question this. I mean, obviously now you said Lindsay Snopes did come back with this, but what they probably just talked about Freedom House and not at all. Like everything that Nancy just said in that whole statement is not true.
Nothing in it was true.
One of the freest societies in the world. What media is this?
Snopes.
This is Snopes. Okay.
So they're saying she misspoke, which may be true, but that's a big misspeak.
Yeah. Well, Snopes. Like,
what does she mean by it?
Yeah, she did say it.
Yeah. I mean, what did she actually mean by that? One of the freest societies in the world where it's like you're so censored in China now that's like the first place where they rolled out the, what is it? Social credit system.
Yes, which it is. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean,
there's over 500 million surveillance cameras, not counting people's phones in China.
That, anyway,
like if you add the phones, it's like a billion. You know.
Okay.
I'm Let's crying. Go into the this energy really part of this me. Because this is really interesting.
Okay, moving on to before we got into Nancy, we were talking about California, what's going on with this ban. They're trying to ban gas powered cars by 2035,
which is weird because it almost feels like the WEF and the UN, they're agenda is so much more hardcore, the stuff they're trying to do by 2030. You'd think they would be trying to do that by 2030 with what they're trying to do with food and all of this other stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, then this goes back to the car manufacturers. It's like, this is where it's really weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, and then to take it one step further, now, so 2 days after they announced that, now California is saying, what's really Newsom is saying, not to charge your electric cars. Days after they just announced the car ban sale.
Get gas and you can't charge your electric car, then what do you do?
Yeah, this is so then it makes, oh, okay, this is the real agenda here. They just don't want people to drive. And
they don't want people leaving their home or something, or
I have no idea.
They don't want
I think that's part of it. I think they want to control us, you know. I mean, World Economic Forum saying we own nothing and we'll be happy, right? Well, like they just don't want people to do anything. And now like everyone's really pushing. Okay, so this whole look, we all know that we have pollution problems in our world, but it's like the climate agenda that they have really comes, they're trying to push it on the consumer. And we get into all of this in our massive oil industrial complex series, which is actually on Rise TV right now. We have a 4-part series where we really dived into this. And we even talk about how Ford Motor Company, the first cars that they were building were electric, but you know, there was a whole agenda with the Rockefellers really wanting to, with having the whole oil thing and everything else. So controlling oil and it's really, you know, it's like, we don't think about it, but cars is a very small factor of what uses oil. Plastic is the number one thing because plastic is everywhere. In fact, Coke is finally going to change their production of plastic in their bottles, but they are the number one consumer of oil because of the plastic bottles. And that's something right. that's not talked about in the media. So
this is the dangers of PR, Ben, where we have these big corporations who they spend millions and millions of dollars on marketing and PR to get the messaging just right and to get the right type of media and reports written about them and to control that entire message. And then they talk about all the good they're doing with climate change and have campaigns revolved around that. Meanwhile, they're the ones creating the products that are generating climate change, according to what these scientists are.
And they're the ones going to the meetings about climate change and nothing's being done with their companies. And I mean, that's exactly right. And again, it's like they're really trying to blame the consumer, but we have no choice. It's like, give us solar power car. I mean, I figured by now we would have at least solar power cars. I mean, that would seem to me, or water hydroelectric cars.
Well, we have had those. It's just the people that have created those engines have been killed. Like, I'm sorry for laughing, but it's like, no, this is ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it actually is. You can look into it yourself and see how many people have passed away under mysterious circumstances related to all of these. And so, okay, I did some research into electric batteries. You know, we talk about that on our oil industrial complex series, and really how much oil it takes to produce lithium batteries, because that's something that's never talked about.
Not at all.
Mining and all this stuff, it requires so much
power. The worst mining in the world, potentially.
Yeah.
Lithium.
But aside from all of that, you know, we have all these politicians now, of course, that own stock in Tesla, like Nancy Pelosi, who's now promoting Tesla, you know. And so to replace your battery, if you need it replaced, is anywhere, depending on what kind of car you have, can be anywhere from like a few $1,000 all the way up to $20,000. The average battery for a Tesla.
I saw a receipt last week that was $25,000 to replace the battery in a Chevy. It was like a Chevy Volt or something.
There you go. Yeah, most of them are around $15,000 to $20,000. I mean, and for an average, like, you know, normal household, that's literally a car price for them. So, and then it's like, okay, well, if you want to go buy electric car, the electric cars are more expensive. So you're now it's like, oh, well, you can't buy a gas car. So it's almost like they just don't want us to have cars.
We could be using hydroelectric cars.
That's
literally it. We could. Yeah. Like if they were so concerned about climate change, why doesn't anyone just pull the patents for the hydroelectric cars?
or make it run on ethanol, which is
ethanol, totally just
working on.
Use the farmers for that. There's so much waste. And every single person in the country could be throwing all of their waste food into, or certain types of waste food into that bag keep generating the alcohol and you're making it on your own.
Dude, yeah, it's like your compost. You know, you could just literally have a whole thing of compost.
You could literally grow your fuel in your backyard. No joke. Yeah. You could grow the potatoes in your backyard for the fuel that you put in your car. And it's the same thing. It's the same potency as the gasoline and probably cleaner.
100% cleaner.
Yeah.
I mean, they were even trying to, you can actually get your car modified, your engine modified, if you really, really wanted to do it, and use like vegetable oil to run your car.
Like ethanol or vegetable oil.
I actually looked this up. You can actually do it. But it's honestly, if you were buying a gallon of vegetable oil, it's not really much different of the price of gasoline.
No. So, yeah. That wouldn't be the way to do it. I would just be more concerned with, you know, if you could make the ethanol from potatoes or something like that, for instance. Right. Because that's where you're going to start saving, is if you're making the ethanol in-house, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, well, yeah, obviously with your way, you would be saving a lot more. But I'm just saying that I have seen things where you can modify it, but it's like...
Yeah, use some of that GMO canola oil they keep making us
eat. Yeah, really. And so... I don't know. I guess after California announced this, Dodge says they're going to stop producing the Challenger and the Charger by next year.
Dude, what?
Which is mind-blowing. Totally mind-blowing.
Like their best, probably two of their best, at least, like sedan vehicles, like, you know, not trucks. I mean, they make most of their money on trucks, but how is that going to help? Because the trucks are what actually would be the ones that affect the climate the most, right?
It's so weird. It really is weird.
Those are cool cars, like especially that one on the right looks pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, the Challenger.
Yeah.
I really like the Challenger actually. Yeah. I was kind of like debating. I'm getting that,
like having an American muscle car. I get it.
Yeah, I got something else instead. But out of all the muscle cars, the Charger was the number one. And if you're in Miami, it's like if you can't afford a like Ferrari or Lamborghini, everyone has like one of these or Mustang. They're pretty common in Miami, actually. And then, super, super weird. So I guess...
I don't get why they would, like, can you scroll down into this article? What is their reasoning for doing this internally?
Dodge will cease production of the two popular muscle cars at the end of 2023, but without proper send-off.
Why? Like
their departures were largely expected, not because of tanking sales, which... Obviously, it's not the problem. What did you hire? Okay. Gas guzzling sport cars struggle to find their place in the future paved with electrification.
So this is the WEF. This is the agenda. This is the ESG scores that are coming into play here. Because why would you ever make that decision if they were selling well?
I mean, just this year alone, so far, there's been almost 40,000 deliveries of the Charger. Mustang is number two with 26,000. Last year, 2019, prior to COVID and all this stuff, the Mustang sold about 72,000 cars. And I don't know if that is national or worldwide, though. But Ford did sell 72,000 cars.
We got to look this up. Who's the CEO of Dodge? This is a dumbass decision. Timothy Kuniskis.
Super weird. Oh yeah, he disclosed the Charger news at a speed week in Pontiac, Michigan. It's so weird. So I guess they're gonna put for 2024, they're planning for battery electric muscle cars, and I'm gonna tell you right now, they're not gonna be popular people are not buying them just because it's like,
dude,
it's
electric cars don't make noise.
Yeah. I have to admit, I did end up getting a Mustang, and
it's the noise that
I like it a lot. It wasn't my first choice, but it's like, I'm happy to have a car that's literally made in the US though. It's cool.
I bought a truck that can ride over your Mustang.
Yeah, I know. You
if I can catch you.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you can catch me though. It's kind of funny. But yeah, you know, it was like I was gonna go with something totally different. I was trying to just find a used car, but then it was just like, dude, and that's another aspect of this too, is the chip production. Is it really because China's like lower and you know it's like COVID's over, people are going back to work. So is this really the case, or is it the fact that they specifically don't want to sell that many cars and they're like somebody on a higher level?
I think it has everything to do with this. I think it has everything to do with this basically like frictionless climate change era that we're in, where they want to, their agenda by 2030 to roll all of this is like, they're all in on it. And they're going hardcore to try to make this change. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen as fast as they want. I think, you know what? You know, I talked to Seth after a show earlier with Kosh. I didn't get to see the interview, but I asked him what his take home was from the interview. And he said, you know, I feel like it was like really great to talk to him because I feel like there's a lot more hope in the situation than we thought.
That's good.
You know, Kosh thinks that we're going to kill it in the midterms. And he also thinks that they're extremely weak right now. And so maybe that's true because they're messing up so badly. Maybe the weakness is actually coming into play. And these moves that they're making are only going to go for so long before they sort of start falling on their face like hardcore. And hopefully new companies come and replace them because they're doing a terrible job.
Yeah, that would be really great if we could have companies that would replace them because seriously.
Okay, so did you want to talk about the UK?
Yeah, so let's get into the UK a little bit here. So, okay, there was a tweet that was that someone put out, and I actually don't know who was this. It was just this guy. He put out this tweet and it, wrong one. Sorry, Lindsay. That is it. That is it. It was just above that. So if you scroll up past the article, the article was linked, but this guy named Callum. So yeah, that guy. So he posted this on Twitter and it went viral. And he's just saying that his mom owns this small cafe somewhere in the UK. Sorry, guys, I don't really know.
64K a year?
Yeah, dude. He said it went from $12,000 to $64,000 a year. And he's like, we're going to have to shut down. People didn't believe him because it just seems so ridiculous. Then he actually posted the bill. And that's what it says. And it was like, they wanted her to sign a 3-year contract even. And all these people were talking about it. And there's this whole massive thread. And then now all these articles are coming out in the UK, not so much in the US, but in the UK. So this guy's like responding. It definitely is a national scandal. And every single small business in the UK, their price went up by like over 100% of what they're paying for their electricity. There's like people responding onto this saying like, I own a local pub. I just noticed like my electric bill is now like $1 per kilowatt or whatever it is, which is normally just like cents going up to $1. And it's like, that's ridiculous for just somebody who just owns a small pub. They're not even like doing so much. So it's really insane, and it's really affecting small businesses like in a massive scale over there. And I think what's worrisome is that what's going to happen if this comes over to the US. So, it's saying that some of these energy firms are are so concerned that these businesses wouldn't even pay. So they're asking like $10,000 up front on top of what they're going to be owing for their energy bill. So again, it's like, well, what do you think, Rob? Why do you think specifically this would be happening? I mean, now first we have these like cars in California, we have this coming on. Also in like places like, I know California is one of them, on and Colorado, it was announced that these energy companies are controlling people's thermostats, like for the smart thermostats, like people can't set it lower.
That was happening in Texas too.
And Texas, yeah. So I think it was like during this heat wave, they were like setting them at a certain thing, and it's like
what's the ridiculous point of talking about all this like climate change stuff, adding in all, oh, I wanted Lindsay to pull this up for you, Ben. Yeah, that's kind of how it feels right now, isn't it? I think this meme really sums it up. It's sort of like so I was just saying that all the windmills that they've introduced and all of this like alternative energy and stuff, and yet they're now controlling all of that and saying they don't have enough of it. And it's so easy to actually restart the coal engines up and just have them going. So unless you're purposely doing that, why would you not do? Why are we prioritizing these politicians' decision making over people actually keeping warm and alive, or staying cool and not having a heart attack? You know, like every time someone has to go to the hospital because of that, it was because of them, you know, I mean, that has to be like, there must be legal ramifications for that. There has to be. That's crazy. I think it's this control that they're trying to insert and to implement a greater sense of control. I think they used communism in the East. I think in the West, largely they've introduced psychological operations to have us implement the slavery that we're experiencing. And there's a lot of people resisting, but don't expect it to stop while these people are still in power, while these people still control these industries and are playing dirty.
Yeah.
A gigantic, massive plan. You don't need to call it a conspiracy. It's a plan. Yeah. It's a plan to roll out the UN's agenda and the plan to roll out the World Economic Forum's plan by 2030 using the ESG scores, the environmental social governance scores. Yeah. Why does a corporation have anything to do with governance? Because they're using the corporations to control us right now. That's why it's called an ESG score. So this is how we're being controlled. It's not communism in the West. They're weaponizing capitalism and fighting a battle with us. So everybody needs to stop talking about people making money. Go make money and change something if you want to, because that's like the only way this is probably going to happen.
I know. And we have like you said, the World Economic Forum, and they're not hiding it anymore. I mean, they're just being very blunt and open about it. Like, this is what we want to do.
It's in every single meeting that they have. If you watch the meeting, there's about like 90 eye-opening things that you're just like, this is nuts. Like, these people are very out of touch with reality. And they're Seriously. The ones that are setting the direction. Why do you need a government to set the direction for you when you can just use the layer of capitalism over the entire thing to roll out all of those agendas? Mm-hmm. They have way more money than us, and they have way more control over how that money is being used to fund the business sector army that's rolling all of this out. It's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable truth.
It is.
You know?
Yeah. Not the bee. They have an article about one of these companies. This small Irish coffee shop went viral for getting an electric bill of nearly 10,000 euros. So this is just like totally insane. I mean, this is extortion, I feel like. And honestly, these energy companies, they have a monopoly over this. Mm-hmm. It's like, here where I'm at in Florida, I only have one. I mean, okay, I could go with like solar power too. You know, I could find like alternative sources, but when it comes to like just your normal energy thing, it's like there's only one company you can use. And it's like, well, if it's only one company, they can charge whatever they want. This is ridiculous. And my bill went up too. But it's like, you know, not like this, but you know, this is very worrisome when you have companies that it's same thing with internet providers. Now you kind of have a little bit more, but in some areas you don't have an option. It's like, there's one internet provider, that's it. And it's like, well, then they can charge whatever they want to charge because there's only one, there's no one competing with them. And it's like, this is getting really ridiculous.
It's like, they're trying to create unrest purposely to get people to rebel so they can wipe people out. I don't know. Because maybe that's it's getting really, really retarded. Like more and worse and worse every day.
So true. I 100% agree with you on that one. Well, you guys, we're about ready to we went a little bit over in what we usually do on Rumble, but we're going to go over to Rise TV. And I found we kind of ran out of time. I didn't know if we were going to get to this or not, but found some interesting tweets related to exactly what we're talking about from Bill Gates and things that he said in some articles that he shared back in 2012, which was pretty mind blowing. A 1960s cartoon that basically describes everything that the World Economic Forum wants to do. So we'll show that because we ran out of time. And also your Q&A, your questions for us, we will get into on Rise TV. So please subscribe to Rise TV, support our work, everything that we're doing. We have some amazing content over there. And I know you guys are just going to love it who are watching on Rumble.
Okay. Also, I'll just say we're about to show the trailer for the cannibalism series. And for those of you guys that like have had interaction with the biblical stories and how all of that took place and rolled out, what happened with Babylon and how it relates to the deep state and all of that stuff, this series will blow your mind. So you can get it on Rise TV if you come over to support us, just $9.99 a month. And we put a lot of effort and research. I mean, we're talking about like loads and loads of research into this whole thing. And you really get a good understanding of the ancient demons all leading up to what people are eating today and why. And it's really, really sick. So, but it's... We have to inform you guys. So that's why we produce stuff like this. You got to learn about it. So anyway, check it out. Yeah. And we love you guys very much. Thank you.
We all know that the deep state is truly a thing of evil. But what lies within the depths of this darkness? Why are they hell-bent on the destruction of mankind? Just what are the fearful foundations beneath this criminal cabal? What entities perpetuate their unspeakable crimes? And are they even real or simply myths of legend and lore? Coming soon to edgeofwonder.tv, a new series that seeks to uncover the very core of this most evil of esoteric agendas. Do we know the true story behind these evil creatures of old? Join us as edgeofwonder.tv peers behind the veil. Vampires. The Ikemu, the Seven Demons, the Vrikalakis, the Succubi, and Fallen Angels, also known as the Order of the Watchers. We'll take you beyond the convoluted historicity of Adam and Lilith and give you their real story, and illustrate how Baal, Moloch, and other entities of evil try to control our world. Do not miss this brand new series, found only on edgeofwonder.tv. Cannibalism, the roots of evil. Get access now to edgeofwonder.tv.
Hey everyone,
I'm Rob, and this is Ben from Edge of Wonder. You might recognize us from YouTube, where we had a popular channel from 2018 to 2020 with videos on space, spirituality, the human body, and forbidden history.
Yeah, our content covered everything cool that we found information on, which the mainstream either couldn't or wouldn't talk about.
Our channel had over 500,000 subscribers, and we had more than 45 million views. But then we were censored and demonetized without warning for daring to look deeper into topics and bring you the truth.
But we refused to be stopped. Now we're excited that Edge of Wonder is going live twice a week with deep dives, interviews, Q&As, and more of the content you love.
And that's not all. We've been getting lots of requests for our timeless episodes on topics like the Mandela Effect, transhumanism, communism, and more. We're happy to say we've got them all, as well as new series every month on our own platform, Rise.tv.
And don't forget my favorites like The Power of the Mind, Near-Death Experiences, Ancient Civilizations, and our Old World Order documentary series. And the list keeps getting longer.
To watch it all, subscribe to Rise.tv, where you'll get our full, original, uncensored catalog of exclusive content, and you won't want to miss our hilarious live chats with our awesome Rise community.
Yeah, it's like we're all family over there with lots of hope and, of course, humor.
And until next time, we'll see you out
on the Edge
of Wonder.
Edge of Wonder.
Oh, man. So, guys, welcome